वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. We have almost come to the end of the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called the vision of the universal form. Arjuna was terrified by seeing the reality. We are blind or one-eyed. We only want to see what is pleasant, what is good, and what contributes to our selfishness. We turn a blind eye to everything, other people's suffering. Suffering is nothing but death. This COVID, how many millions of people, probably a million and a half people have died there. So this kind of vision we don't have. Only when death or suffering comes to whom we consider me or my family, which is an extension of my own ego, then only we feel bad about it. But this inevitable fact, this world is nothing but a mixture, good and evil, happiness and unhappiness, praise and blame, and getting something and losing something, then that picture is continuously going to change. Nothing is going to remain permanent. When we get that picture, we are likely to lose all our hopes. And that was what terrified Arjuna. He could not stand it for a long time. Then he requested Bhagavan, "Hey Bhagavan, your former form, which was very pleasing, please grant it." And the Lord also understood, because he understands us better than we understand ourselves. What did he do? Iti Arjunam Vasudevah Tatha Uktva Svakam Rupam Darshayamasa Bhuya. Again, he showed his former appearance, and then he consoled Arjuna, and then Arjuna became very, very tranquil, happy, positive, etc. How do we know? Arjuna said, having seen this human form of yours, Drishtvedam Manusham Rupam, and what type of form? Saumyam, very pleasing, that which makes our heart swell with joy, pride. Idani masmi samruttaha. I got back my self-control, mind control. My body stopped quaking, shaking. Sachayataha prakrutiṃ, as if the whole universe I was perceiving, that also came back to its own nature. Then the Lord said that, O Arjuna, do not think, do not mistake that just because I am your friend and I have granted you that vision. No, sudurdarsham, extremely difficult. Now you understand how difficult it is, because you were given and first you enjoyed, then you started paying the price. Enjoy first and then suffer later on, paying the price later on. As they say, marry in haste and repent in leisure. So this is like that. Even gods, great saints, siddhas, they are all continuously wanting to have this vision. But it is not possible. Sudurdarsham. But is it impossible? It's not impossible. Is it possible? No, it is not. It is possible, but very, very difficult. So, supposing I do tapasya, not possible. Suppose I study the scriptures, can I get this vision? Not possible. Suppose I serve everybody, I give up everything that I have, is it possible? Not possible. Naham vedaihi na tapasa na danin. Suppose I continuously worship you, is it possible? Not possible. Then, what is the way? Then should I not do all those things? No, no. You have to do all of them. Not one of them, but all of them. You have to study the scriptures. You have to do lot of austerities. You have to to try to become unselfish by distributing, by what is called caring and sharing, by loving everybody. Just as you share your things with your beloved family members, you have to share with anybody who deserves it. And at the same time, you will have to go on worshipping. What is worship? You have to go on praying. You have to surrender completely to me. It's only because of my grace you will get it. So then, if it is your grace alone enough, it is not enough. I can bestow my grace, no doubt. I have no problem with that. But will you be able to receive it? Not possible. Will you be able to retain it? Not possible. Then what is the way? A combination of both. You lead a sadhaka's life means doing those things. Continuous scriptural study, continuously worshipping God, continuously caring and sharing everything that we have. That is how we acquire sarvatma bhava. And continuously practicing hardships. What hardship? When suffering comes, bear it with equanimity, cheerfulness. This is called titiksha. Titiksha sahanam sarvadukhanam apratikara purvakam. Chinta vilaparahitam titiksha sa nigadyate. You can never know, he parantapa, aham evam vidha tatvena jnatumcha drashtuncha praveshtuncha. Right? To behold me in this way, to know me and to become one with me, accepting through one-pointed devotion, parabhakti, supreme devotion, a devotion which knows nothing excepting God. Only through that kind of bhakti it is possible. Suppose I get that bhakti, how long will I be able to see? You can see permanently. In fact, not see, you will become me. And is it a temporary phase? No. Forever, you and I, we become one. Then there is no I, there is no you. Like as I mentioned, a drop of water is a drop of water. It is called a drop of water. And if it is a drop of water, very within a second, it will be dried up. The air is there to dry up. The earth is there to dry you up. The fire is there to dry you up. The air is there to dry you up. Everything is there to dry you up. But if this same drop somehow manages to fall into the ocean, what is the first thing that happens? That name drop is dropped. Then what remains? Water. It doesn't even say, I am an ocean, because that is also a limitation. So this is the goal. You will enter pravesh tuncha, possible, and that is the only goal of life, and that is why all the sadhanas have to be practiced. O Arjuna, without devotion, nobody can enter me. I am a follower of the path of what is called bhakti. I will enter into you. But I am also a follower of jnana. Is it possible? No. Surrender yourself to God. Identify yourself with God by whatever path. Even that identification is not possible excepting by the grace of God. Many people do not realize it. The desire for practicing spiritual disciplines and favorable circumstances, an appropriate human body for the practice of spiritual disciplines, and finally progress in spiritual disciplines, and finally merging in the Divine Lord, is only possible by the grace of what Sri Ramakrishna calls the Divine Mother. That was the great lesson we have discussed earlier, the story of Totapuri Maharaj. He realized later on, I was a jnani and I could sit, I could meditate, I could remove lust, anger, etc. I could become pure. I could finally enter into samadhi only by the grace of God. And then he became a bhakta. First he was a jnani, then he became a bhakta. That's why Madhusudana Saraswati beautifully frames it. What is it? After realization, dvaitam advaitadapi sundaram. Most enjoyable. Here is some point you have to take note. What is it? Was Totapuri Maharaj a very happy person after he entered into Nirvikalpa Samadhi, and then after he came out, he was happy person, but not such a happy person. But as soon as he understood, this is all the grace of my Divine Mother. Until that time, that Mother Kali remained Sri Ramakrishna's divine mother, which he never understood. Then he understood, she is the mother of all. She is my own mother. As soon as he understood, he became, we have to guess, the greatest, most happy person on earth. So he says, Bhaktiya tu ananyaya. Ananyaya bhaktiya eva. Only through one-pointed devotion to me, aham evam vidho darshayitum shakyaha. It is possible for any bhakta only by my grace, by becoming a bhakta. Who is a bhakta? He who completely surrenders, depends and knows nothing excepting the Divine Lord, Divine Mother. Only then he will have correct knowledge, he will have uninterrupted vision of the Mother, and ultimately he will merge in Mother, and there will be no differentiation between me and then the Sadhaka and the Divine Lord. Having said all these things, the last verse is an introduction to the next chapter, which is called Bhakti. Here he is talking, accepting Bhakti, nothing else he is talking about. Then, how to become such a Bhakta? He is giving what we call a capsule format of Bhakti, which he will expound in the 12th chapter. What is this capsule form? So, this is a tradition in Vedanta. Shankaracharya takes great advantage of it whenever he is writing a Bhashya. What does he do? First, he will state a very concise manner called Sutra Praya. And then it may be 5 pages, 15 pages, goes on expounding and what I mean by this Sutra. That is how the Sutra literature has come into vogue. Okay, what is it talking about? Oh Arjuna, become a Bhakta. Oh spiritual aspirant, anyone, become my devotee. There is Nanya Pantha Vidyate Ayanaya. What is it telling? Mat karma krit, mat paramo, mat bhaktaha, sangavarjitaha, nirvairaha, sarvabhuteshu, yasa mam eti pandava. There are positive indications, negative indications. Positive actions a person must cultivate, and certain things he must refrain totally, completely, if he wants to become this kind of bhakta, who can know me, who can see me, and who can become one with me. And like 3 steps, first he comes to know, then he desires me, then he will be able to see me, first as a private darshana, then wherever his eyes goes, vidya vinaya sampanne, brahmane gavihastini, shunichaiva swapakecha, panditaha, samadarshinaha. Wherever their sight goes, their indriyas go, they see nothing but that divine Lord. So what is it? What are the, what is called positive spiritual qualities one has to develop? He who does my work and looks on me as the supreme goal, who is devoted to me. These are the positive characteristics. Who is without attachment and without hatred for any creature. These are negative qualities. Such a person who cultivates these both positive and negative qualities, he alone comes to me, O Pandava. Let us now analyze. Hey Pandava, O Arjuna, yaha, any aspirant, spiritual aspirant, who wants to obtain uninterrupted bliss, immortality, let him become mat karma krit. Krit means he who performs. Performs what? Karmas, actions. What karmas? Dharmic karmas. Whether it be preya or shreya, it doesn't matter. First thing is dharma. That is why in the Hindu philosophy, the purusharthas are graded. The first thing is that we start with dharma. So in the Taittiriya Upanishad also, we get these commandments, many commandments. Satyam vada, dharmam chara, swadhyaya anma pramadaha, matru pitru karya abhyam, na pramaditavyam, matru devo bhava, pitru devo bhava, acharya devo bhava, atidhi devo bhava, then bhutyena pramaditavyam, etc. So many commandments are there. They are commandments. That means you neglect them at your own peril. So Arjuna, what is the first thing? Whether you are doing external activity or internal activity. What is external activity? Everything that is done by the 5 sense organs of hands, feet, etc. Or whether you are thinking, contemplating, meditating, you are cultivating positive thoughts, negative thoughts, pure thoughts, impure thoughts. Anything that we do with our sukshma sharira, with our mind in other words. Why? Because in the sushupti state, we don't do either dharmic or adharmic activities. It is only with the gross body and subtle body, never with the causal body. Then what is the relationship? Whatever we do in these two states of waking and dream, they produce appropriate what we call habit samskaras. And these samskaras remain in the form of seeds which will influence our future life. So, mat karma krit. Mat karma means what? Associate every action with me. Earlier, we have seen also, what is it? Whether you are sleeping, you are blinking, you are eating, you are talking, you are moving, or you, whatever you are going, swapan, swachan, gachnan, ashnan, swapan, shvasan, gachan, unmishan, nimishan api, indriyani, indriyardhesu vartante iti dharayam. Whatever physical actions are done, and every physical action is directed by a appropriate inner thought. I want to blink, even though we think they are mechanical, but it depends upon our samskara. For example, there are people who go on staring at the sun. This is called one kind of trataka. For hours together, unblinkingly they can do. And that was what happened to Sri Ramakrishna. Many years, he said, I could not blink because of continuously shedding tears. So he said, maybe I developed a new disease. Oh mother, do not make me suffer from this disease. I know nothing else excepting you. If I have developed this one, this state of inability to blink, it is only I have devoted to thinking about you continuously and shedding tears. Forcibly, he used to try to close his eyelid, pull it down, like we pull a curtain down. But he said, sometimes I succeeded, sometimes did not succeed in it. Whatever we do, every single physical action has an influence, a cause in the form of our thoughts, our desires, our resolutions, our imaginations, etc. in the mind. All of these must have only one object, central object. What is it? I want to go to God. I want to love God. Ishvara Arpana Buddhi. That is called, you call it Karma Yoga, call it Bhakti Yoga, by whatever name you want. Every single action, even unconsciously, I will not do after some habit is developed. Beginning, of course, mind will be scattering, thinking of other things other than God. But when we progress sufficiently, that should be your goal, O Arjuna. That means, O Sadhaka, anywhere you want to progress in spiritual life, think only about God. Make it a habit. Associate every action. I am seeing, I am listening, I am smelling, I am tasting, I am touching, only to obtain the grace of God. This is called mat karma krit. Then, in order to be able to do this, I must have what is called inviolable one goal. What is that goal? Only God. I want God and I want other things. That is also not, should not be there. I want God first, something else later on, from God. That should not be there. I want nothing else but God. Even if God offers me everything, I don't want that. Because without God, everything will be what is called dukkha, suffering. With God, suffering itself is the greatest joy. This is called mat paramaha. Parama means than which there is nothing higher. And what is it everybody wants? He wants only ananda. And this Brahmananda is unequaled, and only an infinitesimal part of that ananda, that is what we are running after, these worldly objects. So sometimes they give, sometimes they do not give, sometimes they give just the opposite of it. The same object can give us happiness, sometimes doesn't give happiness, sometimes gives terrible, what is called unhappiness, suffering. So, let me be your supreme and only goal, nothing else. That is called moksha, that is called Atma Jnana, Brahma Jnana. Then only if everything you do through Karma Yoga is associated with me, and slowly your mind becomes purified and you have better understanding, then you understand everything is worthless excepting God. Then you fix your mind only on the realization of God, and then slowly you start your life of a devotee. That was what Prahlada spoke to the Lord. Oh Lord, just as worldly people have tremendous attachment to every worldly object, let me be attached, that great worldly people's attachment to worldly objects, but towards you. So, we all have the potentiality because we are already attached to the world terribly. How much percentage? 100%. Because if we are attached to the world only 10%, when we turn our attachment to God, our attachment to God also will be only 10%, not even 10.1%, not even 10.00001%, exactly 10%. So let me have the God other than me, there is nothing supreme, because that is what gives me all the happiness. It makes me immortal, it makes me sarvajna, and above all, I'll be swimming in the ocean of bliss. Mat paramaha. Then only you are entitled to be called a bhakta. But on the way, some obstructions can come. What are those obstructions? Sangha. You should not have sangha. Sangha means attachment. And attachment manifests in twofold ways. One is raga, one is called dvesha. Raga means some object has made me happy. I feel like having it, experiencing it second time. It could be a person, it could be an object, it could be an event, it could be any type of experience. Similarly, some type of experience made me feel very unhappy, brought suffering to me, and we develop tremendous attachment to it. But this is the opposite of attachment. What is it? Let me not see that person. Let me not have that object. Let me never experience that event. Let me never be attached to any such thought, even in my mind. That's why Yatishwan Maharaj used to say, hatred is more of a bondage, more stronger bondage than even love. This is a well-known fact. If we love somebody, most often we forget. But if we hate somebody, the intensity of our thought about that being, person, is much greater than whom we love. Sangavarjitaha. I must completely give up every type of attachment, raga and dvesha. Then what remains? All my attention will be fixed only upon one object, which is called God. When the whole world is denied, what remains is only the Divine Lord. Then nirvairaha, let not the thought come, anybody is your enemy. That a devotee will never have any enemies. Other people may consider that person as an undesirable person, try to eliminate him, like people, they crucified Jesus, etc. They tried to beat, kicked Sri Ramakrishna, tried to kill Swami Vivekananda. So many, every saint's life, we get such kind of incidents. But what? The bhakta himself doesn't say, it is somebody is enemy, I consider that person as my enemy. Sri Ramakrishna is a beautiful illustration. This was a real incident. There was one devotee. He was a great devotee of Rama, and he was fighting with some Muslims, and then he was stabbed by a Muslim who was close to him because of religious sentiment or whatever it was. Some other friends found him out, and then he was on deathbed, about to give up the prana. He asked, "Tell us, who stabbed you?" Because he was a great hero. "Then we will take revenge upon him." That man said, "He who made me a devotee of God, it is the same Rama who stabbed me. It is only Rama who bestowed his grace. It is the same Rama who now stabbed me. A devotee cannot have enemies, but other people may consider him as an enemy. So there is a beautiful illustration as which I mentioned here. Light doesn't have enemy called darkness. Darkness has an enemy called light. How do we understand it? Because if you ask light, so why is it darkness hating you again and again? The light will reply, I can't understand you. What do you mean by darkness? Can you show me darkness? Yes, yes, come. My room is full of darkness. Right now I will show you. And as soon as light enters into the room, there is no... Where is this darkness you are talking about? Oh, since you came, it disappeared. So, wherever light goes, there is no darkness. That means darkness doesn't exist where light is. When it doesn't exist, how is that light going to feel, I have an enemy here? But contrary is the truth about darkness. Darkness is terribly frightened of light. Because so many times, this light came even nearby, and this darkness had no other way but to disappear. When the Jyotisham Jyotira Jyoti, the Divine Lord, is established firmly in the heart of the devotee, what is his vision? He is seeing only, he is having only Divyanjana, Gnana Anjana Vimalanayana Vikshane Mohajaya. He is putting on the collyrium of knowledge. He is putting on Divya Chakshu, Divyam Dadamite Chakshu. But unlike Arjuna, this devotee, what does he see? He will see only God. Left side, Krishna. Right side, Krishna. Below, Krishna. Above, Krishna. Front, Krishna. Back, Krishna. Then what about the middle? Middle also, Krishna. He sees nothing but Krishna. Patati patatre, vichalita patre, pashyati tava panthanam. As Jayadeva so beautifully explains that nirvairaha is this... A sadhaka's first duty, nobody is an enemy. If somebody is giving trouble to me, then what? That person is only an instrument of God, and God only is trying to awaken you out of his love for you. Whatever miseries come, they are gifts from God, as Holy Mother so clearly mentions. There is nobody who is your enemy. Your own past karma, your own past samskaras, your wretched, impure mind, this is the greatest enemy in this whole world. Practice this nirvairatvam, that do not look upon anybody as an enemy. But how do I look up? Everybody is nothing but God. Sarva bhuteshu, whichever bhuta, whichever thing I look, I experience, I think about, it is God coming in this form. God in the form of another being. God in the form of a river, God in the form of the sun, the moon, the stars, Gaganamaya Thala. I mentioned the story of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ once appeared to a cobbler at night who was a great devotee. Tomorrow I will visit you. And this cobbler was overwhelmed with joy. He prepared whatever he could, the best food, carried it to his shop and awaiting the arrival of Jesus. So 2-3 hours passed, this man was getting restless. Suddenly he saw a beggar woman, and then she begged food. So he became a little annoyed with Jesus, and 1/4 of it he gave to that beggar woman. After some time, a beggar boy came. So he gave another 1/4. In the afternoon, a hungry dog came. So he gave another 1/4. And just before sunset, there was another beggar came, and this person was terribly annoyed. He promised to come. He is a liar. Like that, he gave away the last 1/4 of the food. And he was boiling with rage. He went to bed. Again, Jesus appeared in his dream and said, this man said, charged him. What happened? You never came. Jesus sweetly smiled and said, why? I did visit you, not once. 4 times I have visited you. Aray, Baba, you come at least putting on the dress of Jesus. How to realize him? Same story I also told, a disciple of Holy Mother used to take bath in the nearby Ganges. Well, suddenly one day, his Ishta Devata was Mother Kali. One day, a girl of 7-8 years came, started swimming near him, and then annoying him. And one or two days, she was increasing her pranks more and more. Third day, he got so angry and said, "Get lost." And then the girl looked at him and then went, disappeared. That night, he had a vision. "You were praying for my vision. And for 3 days, I appeared. And then you asked me to get lost. And then that's why I disappeared." He became so regretful. He went to Holy Mother, his guru, and narrated. Holy Mother said, "My son, the Divine Mother already bestowed her grace upon you. Who else was the Divine Mother? Holy Mother herself was the Divine Mother. And she is Kali, she is Saraswati, she is Lakshmi, she is Parvati, she is Durga, Sarvadeva Devi, Swarupini. So, I bestowed my grace. From now onwards, any woman comes to you, any female form, consider it as Mother Kali's form. Maybe it is for his sadhana, maybe there is a lurking, what is called desire for woman. And so, Divine Mother bestowed her grace, and in this form, she removed it forever. From now onwards, any girl comes. Ei Buji, Ma Kali Eschen. Ei Buji, Ma Eschen. I think Mother has come, Mother has come, Mother has come. Like Kamsa, continuously trying to see only Krishna in everybody around him. This person also is always continuously thinking about the Divine Mother. Nirvairaha Sarva Bhutesh. These are the characteristics, and if you develop them, such a person is sure to attain me, O Pandava. With this, the 55 verses of the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is over, and this last verse will be expounded. Let me summarize now the 11th chapter. In the 10th chapter, the Lord described vividly in crystal clear terms in how many ways a sadhaka can contemplate upon the Divine Lord in this very world. Any person has got any talent. Some people are very beautiful, some people are rich, some people are powerful, some people have highest positions, some people are scholars, some people are musicians, some are great sportsmen, some are great statesmen. Whatever be the speciality they have, even somebody is a great cook, a great carpenter, or a great house builder, or a great painter, anything great, or somebody can speak so sweetly, he can console you. Anything greatness, it is a manifestation of me. First, you contemplate on my glories. And finally, it is not only the glory, but the one who is manifesting that glory, that is also me. That means the whole world is nothing but me. This Vishwam, Samastam is nothing but Brahma. Then Arjuna in the 11th chapter says, "I have complete faith in whatever you told me, O Lord, but I would like to foretaste, have a taste by actually experiencing this world as you." And so what happened? The Lord gives him a new power of insight with which Arjuna becomes capable of having a direct experience of the Divine in the form of Vishwarupa Darshana. The Lord reveals to him his cosmic form, in which Arjuna finds in one instant all that existed exists in the past, present and future, spread out as it were, as part and parcel of an all-comprehending whole, a divine person whose awful majesty and stupefying splendor are too much for him, too much for Arjuna to bear. So Arjuna finds that all beings are helplessly drawn and absorbed into his being by the phenomena called inexorable time, with which he declares his identity. So then Arjuna understands that there is only one will, that is the Divine Mother's will, Divine will, and that will is the will of all people, the will of all the centers of consciousness included in his being are but instruments only for serving God and accomplishing his purposes. What does it mean? It means we are there only to think about God and not to think about anything else. That is what it really means. Arjuna finds that Janma, Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, everything happens in time, but somehow that phenomena of Laya, destruction, brings terrible fear. So he prays, My mind is not at rest. It is completely upside down, upset. Please make it set up. And that can be done only through one way, by seeing you, not as Vishwarupa Krishna, but Arjuna Sakha Krishna. So God grants his desire and reappears as the old Bhagavan, sweet Bhagavan Krishna, who is the guide, friend, philosopher and savior of Arjuna. With that, Arjuna becomes completely at rest, and then the Lord summarized that, "Oh Arjuna, you cannot have, nobody can have this vision of mine, and even if they have, they cannot retain it for long unless he becomes a great devotee. And the way to become a great devotee is you try to do everything and relate it with me, join it with me. And then I must be the greatest only goal of your life. And then you become a devotee, first Artha Bhakta, then Artharthi Bhakta, then Jignasu Bhakta, then Vijnani Bhakta." So this idea, Mat Karma Krut, Mat Paramo, Mat Bhaktaha, Sangavarjitaha, Nirvairaha Sarvabhuteshu, Yaha, Saha, such a person, Mam Eti, he sees me and then he becomes one with me. This is the essence of this 11th chapter. Now, there are four very important shlokas in this 11th chapter. Yatva yoktam vachastena mohoyam vigato mama. Lord says, madanugrahaya paramam uhyam adhyatma sangnitam. Yat tvaya uktam vachastena mohoyam vigato mama. All my moha delusion has gone because of your grace, O Krishna. And then the Lord also tells him something very important. What does he tell? Naham vedaihi na tapasa na danena na chejaya shakya evam vidu drashtum drushtavanasi mam yatha. O Arjuna, I am not available by anything any human being can do for even for infinite number of time. So a person is studying scriptures, he is performing tremendous superhuman austerities, he is giving away everything like Mandata, like Shibi Chakravarti, like Harishchandra, but that's not enough to procure this divine vision of mine. And somebody is constantly worshipping me, even that is not enough. No karma ever produces infinite result. That is the psychological truth. Then what are you expecting me to do? Bhaktiyatu ananyaya shakyaha. Is it possible only by one way, by becoming a bhakta, become true bhakta. Then you will be able to know about me in the right way, you will be able to see me correctly, and you will be able to become one with me in the end. Gnatum drashtuncha tatvena praveshtuncha parantapa. So, how can I deserve you? What sadhana should I do to become a devotee? Mat karma krit, mat paramo, mat bhaktaha, sangavarjitaha, nirvairaha sarvabhuteshu, yaha saha mameti pandava. He who dedicates every action, relates, associates every action, that is called karma yoga, associating every single action, either mental action, speech action, or external action with the divine Lord. And the only goal, highest abode, the man understands is only God. There is nothing higher than that. Everything else is absolutely nothing in comparison with it. Then he must become a Sharanagata, Bhakta, a self-surrendering devotee. Then he should also not have any attachments in the form of Raga and Dvesha. Then he should not have anybody as his enemies. That means he should be able to see everybody as a friend, everybody as a co-devotee, everybody as God himself present in front of him to help him, to push him forward towards God. Such a person, whoever develops these qualities, saha mam eti pandava. With this, the Om Tat Sat Iti Vishwarupa Darshanaya Yoga Nama Ekadasho Adhyayaha Samaptaha. Thus in the Bhagavad Gita, essence of the Upanishads, the science of Brahman, the scriptures of yoga, A dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna ends the 11th chapter entitled The Vision of the Universal Form. Now, next chapter will be there. This is called the 12th chapter. It is called Bhakti Yoga. I'll give you a brief introduction today, and then next class onwards, we will be talking about. When we study the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, when we study the teachings of Swami Brahmanandaji, the teachings of Mahapurusha Maharaj, Swami Shivanandaji, the teachings of Holy Mother, Sharada Devi, all of them with one voice, they all told us only one thing. What is it? There is no yoga which is superior to Bhakti Yoga. But Bhakti Yoga doesn't mean only emotion. Usually what we say, Bhakti Yoga has its own several plenty drawbacks are there. Every bhakta, there are Vaishnavas, there are Shaktas, there are Christians, there are Muslims. All these are bhaktas, but they go on hating each other, they become fanatical, and they say, accepting you worship Krishna, no salvation. Accepting you worship Narayana, no salvation. Accepting you worship Divine Mother, Ma Kali, or Parvati, or Durga, there is no salvation. Accepting worshipping only Shiva, there is no salvation. Accepting you take the name of Jesus, there is no salvation. Or the name of Allah, there is no salvation. Hinduism never taught, never teaches such fanaticism. A devotee is one who is free from all kinds of fanaticism. That is the first thing that we have to understand. Second, a devotee is one who knows, I am nothing, you are everything. So the devotee has to develop that. This is prelude to what is called self-surrender. And the path of devotion is dominantly the path of achieving self-surrender. The I must completely be, is offered to the Divine Lord and say, O Lord, it belongs to you. There is nothing in this world that belongs to me. And even I myself do not belong to you. This personality called me, which is made up of the Panchabhutas, both gross and subtle, it is all coming from you. I have nothing else to offer. That is why, while discussing in my past classes, as well as the especially Aratrika, we offer five objects. First, we offer light, Agni Tattvam. Then we offer water, Jala Tattvam. We offer a cloth, which is the space tattvam, akasha tattvam. Then we offer a flower, which is bhu tattvam, prithvi tattvam, or what is called the earth nature. And then finally, we fan the Lord, which is vayu tattvam. What does it mean? Why these five items have been chosen? To indicate the five representations of panchabhutas. The whole universe, external as well as internal, is only a production, a manifestation with Nama Rupa of these gross or subtle elements. Let us say subtle elements because it is the subtle elements only which grossified and manifested in combination Panchikarana as the gross elements. There is nothing other than the five subtle elements. These five subtle elements came from universal I. Universal I came from Ishvara or Maya. Ishvara is none other than Bhagavan, the Parabrahma. Nothing but true Parabrahma only. When we offer after puja, we perform this vesper service. If we have done puja properly, then we have to come with this to this understanding, nothing in this world belongs to me or to anybody. The world, entire world belongs only to God. At least God has given me out of His grace that understanding. Therefore, that ahankara and mamakara, I and myness, both disappear if we really worship Him. And then only the purpose of life is attained. Then only we become parabhaktas. Then only we will be able to understand the 12th chapter. So the 12th chapter has got 20 verses. Why? This is the one of the two chapters which have the least bit of number of shlokas. 12th as well as 15th chapter, which is called Purushottama Yoga. So both chapters have got only 20 shlokas. These are the least number of shlokas and these are the two chapters. And in this 12th chapter, the Lord is going to expound because of one particular question of Arjuna. Arjuna starts, "So Lord, you talked about Jnana Yoga, Jnana Marga, talked about Bhakti Marga. So which one is superior?" Then the Lord said, "There is no superiority, there is no inferiority. Whatever is best path suitable to one's particular nature, that is the easiest path for that person, and hence that is the what is called superior path for that particular person." Always Hinduism emphasizes Ekam Sat Vipraha Bahudha Padanti. Then which is superior? Says both of them, not only both Karma Yoga as well as Raja Yoga, all the four yogas equally and inevitably pursued with sincerity, take one, reach one to the that one only goal, which is called God or Brahman. But there is a but. What is that but? For most people in this world, they are what Sri Ramakrishna calls Annagata Prana. That is, they are completely identified with their Annamaya Kosha. I am this body and everything else is subsidiary to this idea of body. The Indriyas, the Pranas, the mind, the Buddhi, and everything the person does externally, internally, physically, as well as internally, everything is directed for the cleanliness, for the health, for the happiness, for the continuation, for the sustenance, are of this only physical body. That's why Swamiji used to call, "We are all children of Virochanas, who went to Prajapati and misunderstood his teaching and understood Atman is the body, let us entertain, let us fit it, let us celebrate it, and let us whole life spend only in looking after it." So, we are Annagata Pranas. And for such people, those who are so terribly attached to this body, without food we cannot take a breath, without food we cannot do anything properly. That is what is meant Annagata Prana. For such people, Jnana Marga, Klesho Adhikataras Tesham, Avyakta Satta Chetasam, Avyakta Gatir Dukham, Deha Vadbhi Avapyate. For those with this kind of body consciousness people, this Jnana Marga is not at all suitable. Much better is this Bhakti Yoga. That's what Sri Ramakrishna says. In this Kalikala, it is only the Bhakti Marga. That too, as explained by Bhagavan Narada, that is most suitable. But lest we may misunderstand, it's not easy to follow Jnana Marga, Raja Marga, or Karma Marga, or Bhakti Marga. Equally, it is very, very difficult. But because of our nature, one particular lane in motor lane is more suitable for our old motor and also for our old age action and reaction. So, for most of us, Narada Prokta Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti path as taught by Narada is the most suitable one. Not the only one, most suitable one. And it is not easy. There are so many. In this one chapter, the Lord enumerates what are the qualities of a devotee. And only having these qualities, the Lord says, only one who has these qualities, I will certify them. Same bhaktaha. Such a person is truly my devotees. And such a bhakta is my beloved bhakta. This beautiful concept of God certifying a devotee, not disciples, not admirers, not some useless fellows, and not some ignorant, stupid fellows, but only God must give a certificate. Yes, you are my devotee. How does he give certificate? Buddhi yogam tam dadamyaham. I will give them that understanding. What is the understanding? You are tatvamasi, aham brahmasmi will come automatically. These beautiful ideas we will discuss from our next class. Om Vasude Vasutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. మే శ్రీరామకృష్ణ, హోలీ మదర్ అండ్ స్వామి వివేకానంద బ్లెస్ అస్ ఆల్ విత్ భక్తి.